Om Jnana Simirandasya Jnananjana Sanakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamsya Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinobando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Saruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya So we're reading from Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 26. Nama Kamala Kinjalka
Nama
Kinjalka Nama Kamala Kinjalka Pishanga Malavashashe Pishanga Malavashashe
Sarva Bhuta Nivashaya
Sarva Bhuta Nivashaya Namo Yungshmahi Sakshine
Namo
Yungshmahi Sakshine Nama,
Nama.
Obeisances.
Kamala
Kinjalka,
like the saffron in a lotus
flower.
Pishanga,
yellowish.
Amala,
spotless.
Vashashe,
unto him whose garment.
Sarva Bhuta,
of all living entities.
Nivashaya,
the shelter.
Nama,
obeisances.
Ayungshmahi,
let us offer.
Shakshine,
supreme witness.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Dear Lord, the garment you have put on is yellowish in color, like the saffron of a lotus flower, but it is not made of anything material. Since you live in everyone's heart, you are the direct witness of all the activities of all living entities. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Purport. In this verse, the dress of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His all-pervasive nature are described. The Lord puts on a dress that is yellowish. But such a garment is never to be considered material. The garments of the Lord are also the Lord. They are non-different from the Lord because they are spiritual in nature. The word Sarvabhuta Nivashaya further clarifies how Lord Vishnu lives in everyone's heart and acts as the direct witness of all the activities of the conditioned soul. Within this material world, the conditioned soul has desires and acts in accordance with these desires. All these acts are observed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Sarvasya chaham ridisani vishto matah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord is present in everyone's heart, and he gives the living entity intelligence. According to the desires of the living entity, the Lord makes him remember or forget. If the living entity is demoniac and wants to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord gives him the intelligence to be able to forget the Supreme Lord forever. Similarly, when a devotee wants to serve the Supreme Lord, the Lord as Paramatma gives the devotee the intelligence to make progress in devotional service. The Lord directly witnesses our activities and experiences our desires. The Supreme Lord gives us the facilities to act in the way we wish. I haven't been in most classes of this chapter, so I was thinking we can maybe go over the whole chapter and remember what has been happening here. The chapter is called The Activities of the Prachetas, and it is right after they have sung a song composed by Lord Shiva for the glorification of Lord Vishnu. And it starts by Vidura asking Maitreya Muni what the results were that they got by singing this song, because usually we do something and then we get something in return. We try to do it not because of that, but it's there. Vidura also states that that he knows that they went back to the spiritual world because they have pleased Lord Vishnu. Does anyone remember the other things that they got, that the Supreme Personality gave them as a result? Please participate. Yes, they got a wife. They got one wife altogether. I think they were 10 prachetas. 10? More? Oh, see, I was wrong. Anyone knows how many? There's a lot of them. It's at least 1,000. Wow. Can you imagine getting 1,000 husbands? Wow. I mean, what's her name? Draupadi? She got 5? But 1,000? 10,000. Well, yeah, 10,000. Anyway, 1,000 is already beyond my ability to comprehend, so what to speak of 10,000? But one of the things that the Lord also said, one of the first things that he said to them was that he was pleased that they were cooperating. and that they were so friendly with each other. So if they wouldn't have been so friendly with each other, I don't think he would have given them one white. So because of their cooperation, he was so pleased. And there are in total 3 material, well, kind of material. Yes. Son, yes, they begot one son. Brahma. Yeah, it's true. They get a nice son from this wife, who is the daughter of the great sage Khandu. And well, it doesn't say that he will be superior to Lord Brahma, but he will not be inferior to him. And then it also mentions that I forgot my point. forgot it. There's one more. Anyone? They got a son, they got a wife. Yes? Yeah, they got Darshan. But it's 3 things that they got from Lord Vishnu that I'm asking for. But they definitely got Darshan, which is a blessing. But there's 3 material, kind of material things that he gets. They get to enjoy a long life, yes. And really enjoy the heavenly planets and the material planets. And for 1 million celestial years. Devotees are saying, oh no. It's interesting what devotees react to, or you know, they like, or they think, oh no, that's. So then I was thinking, you know, he blesses them also in a spiritual way, with that they will go to back to Godhead after their life. But I was thinking, if they get to enjoy for 1 million celestial years before that, how come it's sure that, you know, they will go back to Godhead after that? I mean, isn't it, you know, I mean, even demigods get bewildered by their opulent life. Yes? Oh, that's interesting. So, like, even, you mean even for the demigods, or...? Oh, that's interesting. That's tolerable. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada also explains that in this purport, where it's the verse is about 1 million years. It's 12 months, and So I was asking myself this question, and then Krishna answers it, because Krishna starts explaining to the Prachetas that for someone who is engaged in devotional service, they offer all their activities to the Lord, so they don't enjoy it for themselves. They offer all the results to Krishna. So in that way, an opulent life is doesn't distract one from devotional service, because it is devotional service for them. And a devotee knows Krishna to be the ultimate enjoyer, that he's anyway the ultimate enjoyer, whether we offer it to him or not, he is the ultimate enjoyer. So when one is aware of that, it's much easier to deal with so much opulence and enjoyment. He's also always engaged in topics of the Lord. He always discusses the Lord. So in that sense, it doesn't matter where one is. It doesn't matter in what situation one is. When one discusses the Lord, one is with the Lord. So in that sense, it's a completely different thing than if someone who's really after enjoyment would enjoy for 1 million celestial years. They also experience everything as increasingly fresh. by the influence of the Lord. It's interesting that, because this is actually Lord Krishna explaining himself to the Prachetas what is happening, and that he is saying that all himself. It's not someone else who's saying that about devotional service to the Lord, but it's the Lord himself speaking. It's a very, I find it a very sweet conversation between the Lord and the Prachetas. There's a lot of affection there. He also states that one is never bewildered because of all these previous things that he mentioned of a devotee. And one does not lament or become unnecessarily jubilant. That one I find a very hard one. both actually, both equally, not becoming unnecessarily jubilant or lamenting. For someone who doesn't deal with devotional service, it might be strange that we mention not becoming jubilant as one of them. It doesn't mean that we're depressed all the time, because we're not lamenting either. So it's an interesting balance between things, which personally I haven't found yet. But also when you think of it philosophically, it's sometimes mind-boggling, because it's neither of them, and we're used to a world of dualities. We're used to think either one or the other, and many of us think in extremes. It either has to be one in extremis or the other in extremis. Neutrality is quite a difficult achievement in this material world. So yeah, it's not suddenly becoming jubilant. Devotees are happy. It doesn't mean that they're not happy. They're extremely happy. They're in bliss and they get all these ecstatic symptoms. But it's not it's not a sudden thing. It may appear sudden to some of us who watch other devotees, but it's a state in the heart. It's not necessarily caused by external events, or things we get or things we lose or things like that. And then the Prachetas, after Lord Vishnu has explained all these things and given them these blessings and assured them that they will go back to Godhead after they finish their life, they start offering prayers. And the verse that we read today is part of those prayers. They glorify the Lord and they give their realizations of how they perceive the Lord. And it's interesting that the verse started off with describing his garments. I was curious, and I was looking through the Veda base, which is a very interesting thing when you need to give class. I was looking if it's everywhere mentioned that he has a yellow dhoti. And it's not everywhere. There's one place in the Nectar of Devotion where it states that he has a red garment and a yellowish top shirt. I'd like to read that for you. It's chapter 26 of the Nectar of Devotion, which gives... hold on. 31. I'm sorry, I didn't put a paper. I put a paper, but it's my it's my notes, so... Okay. This chapter is called Stimulation for Ecstatic Love, and of course it's all about Krishna. Krishna's apparel and garlands is like a subtitle in this chapter. Generally there are four kinds of garments on the body of Krishna: his shirt, turban, belt, and wearing garments. But I was thinking if it mentions his shirt as one of them, then what does it mean with wearing garments? Then it's probably his dhoti. In Vrindavan, he used to put on reddish garments with a golden shirt on his body and an orange-colored turban on his head. I've never seen him portrayed like that. It's never come to my mind that I never seen a painting like that. Yeah, but everywhere else it's said he wears a yellow one, you know. Yeah, but I never seen him portrayed like that. Yeah, he likes change. The different kinds of belts, combined with his enchanting smile, used to always increase the transcendental bliss of his associates. This dress of Krishna is described as gorgeous. As a baby elephant is sometimes dressed in colorful clothing, so Krishna's gorgeousness was manifested by decoration with such colorful clothing on the different parts of his body. It's a very nice chapter. This whole chapter is so nectarian. It also talks about his flute and his buffalo horn and his leg bells and conch shell and footprints and all kinds of things. It's very nectarian. So yeah, mostly also when you look at descriptions of Krishna, mostly it's the first thing that they mention is his dhoti, his yellow dhoti, and his bluish complexion, which is like a rain cloud. Lord Brahma also, in his prayers, he starts off with that, and he says, well, this is after, when he offers prayers after he had stolen the cowherd boys. My dear Lord, you are the only worshipful Supreme Lord, personality of Godhead. Therefore, I am offering my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. Your bodily features are of the color of clouds filled with water. You are glittering with a silver electric aura emanating from your yellow garments. It's a few times where they compare it to a flash. How do you call it? Lightning. Sorry. Yeah, and his complexion to thunderous clouds. It's interesting because I never noticed this before I started preparing for this class that they compare it to lightning. Yes. Oh, and peacock feathers like a rainbow. It's nice. It's wonderful. One of the things I find very inspiring and touching in Krishna consciousness is that we have all these kinds of things that we can compare it to. We can't completely form a specific, at least I can't, of image of Krishna specifically. Like, but there are many things that they compare it to, so we have an idea of how he looks like. And to my experience, that it's one of the only religions or. Well, I don't like to call Krishna consciousness a religion, but you know what I mean. Who really gives such detailed information about the spiritual world and Krishna himself and what he wears and what he likes to eat and you know, what his mother does and what Radharani does during the day. And there's all this detailed information. And of course, it's necessary to study the philosophy scrutinizingly. And attentively before we get to those explanations, but at the same time, it really inspires me to makes it more real in some sense to me that there are all these descriptions and it's not just an idea of someone, who, you know, or an old man sitting on a cloud, which I used to think God was. He's described as very, very old. He's the oldest person in the world, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he looks old. He's also the youngest, you know. He's also very young, described as very young, just a boy of 15, 16-year-old, very attractive. And of course, you know, why not? If you're God, you know, it's like... Because in the beginning, I had difficulty thinking of God in the way that Krishna is described. But, you know, then I started thinking, why not? I mean, if I would be God, then how would I want to look, you know? I mean, very attractive, of course. Let's not go further on that, but but at the same time, you know, it's even logic, you know, that God looks very young. He's a young boy and cowherd boy, carefree, and, you know, at the same time, he's the organizer of the whole universe. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Jagannath Baladev ki jai, Subhadra Maharani ki jai, Gauranitai ki jai. Just looking at the altar, you can just stare for hours at the altar, you know, looking at all the different details they are persons. They are not just images. Wow. Okay, this is all I have prepared for today. If you have any comments or questions or additions or things you would like to share, then please. Yes.
One thing is that Krishna usually only gives offerings to some of the people who are very confident. If the ultimate goal is for him, and he wants him to go to him, the race is for him, he'll only give them some, he'll only give them one offering if they can handle it. If he thought that they couldn't handle it, he probably wouldn't give them to him.
Yeah, I particularly like your first one, first point. Also, if you look at the grandson of Ford, yeah, but what's his name? No. Ambarish, yes, Ambarish Prabhu. The beautiful things that he does with the money that he has, it's amazing. Like the temple they are building now in Mayapur, it's going to be huge, and it's, you know, according to what Srila Prabhupada wants. So money is important in some sense. But for us, money is Lakshmi. Lakshmi is the wife of Vishnu. Yeah, that's true. He only gives opulence to those whom he's confident enough that they can deal with it. Especially, you know, when it's to do with devotees. Yes, thank you. Yes. Yeah, that's the point. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It also struck me, and I forgot to mention it. But I don't have an answer. It struck me in a similar way that he says he experiences our desires. I'll just read the sentence again in the purport. Within this material world, the conditioned soul has desires and acts in accordance with these desires. All these acts are observed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong sentence. The Lord directly witnesses our activities and experiences our desires. Yeah, I mean, the really first thing that went through my mind was, nah, he doesn't experience them. But then at the same time, you know, it's Srila Prabhupada who's saying it, and we know that he, you know, he chose his words very carefully. He doesn't just say something like that. Remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Yes. Remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Yeah.
The thing is, I'm
Well, I mean, to me, it was always, I mean, not always. It was. It's easy to think that he observes them, that he witnesses them, but that he experiences them is quite a step further. And to me, it also shows a lot of his compassion, and his really wanting to be close to us and to wanting us to, you know. Yeah, it's amazing how personal Krishna is. Yes. That's a good point, that even in material relationships, or, you know, somewhat spiritual relationships, we experience what a very close friend is going through to some extent. We can feel some of it. Yeah, it's true. We can feel some of the anxiety or the hurt or the happiness or the, you know, the positive ones.
And once there was a statement that like false pride, when we do some service, and when we have some false pride, is that it spoils the whole thing in Krishna's heart. That our false pride, the Krishna experience in his heart, and it spoils. Everything was good, but you have false pride. So that's also one of the kind of proofs that Krishna actually really, really experiences it quite. Can I say one more thing regarding the
devotees? Yeah.
Because like when we see pictures of Krishna, it's always like kind of we present even though, I mean, we see an altar, Krishna is changing clothes like many times a day actually. But when we present them, then it's like the typical, so to say, clothes. And Krishna wears golden clothes because Radharani is golden and Radharani wears. That's also one of the things why Krishna is always represented with the golden lotus, because even if you don't see Radharani, she's there in the color of the lotus.
That's nice. I never heard that before. It's nice.
And that's why Radharani, she also changes sides, but typically she will be represented with the blue side, which represents.
Thank you. Yes. Yes, that I knew. It's so wonderful. So wonderful. Yeah, it's, also here it says, you know, his garments are not to be considered material, because the garments of the Lord are also the Lord. And to me, my first impression of that is that it stays one, you know, all the time. It doesn't change clothes. But that's not true, you know. It's not because, I mean, Krishna is not limited like that, you know. It's not because his garment is himself that therefore it stays the same all the time. You know, there's also a point where I think it was after the war with the Kurus that Yudhisthira Maharaj gave him lots of yellow dhotis, golden dhotis. That's the first time I thought, oh yeah, you know, he changes clothes. Of course, he changes clothes. So yeah, it's our conceptions can be so limited in a first stage if we don't keep, you know, reading the scriptures. Yes. That's described in the Nectar of Devotion also, I think. You know? The specific mellows and specific feelings of love have different colors. Interesting.
I think because everything that Krishna does is I always think like in the simple piece of that everything is on the rule. You know, and if you have to explain everything, isn't it? It gets a little boring after a while. Well, why do you do this? Why do you do that? There are some reasons, you know, for those businesses. But the main reason we do it is because it helps us become more Krishna conscious. And we don't care, you know, Krishna holds us to be unique. Like I said, Krishna holds us to be unique. We don't care.
Thank you very much. I think we will finish there. Thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.